here, at the end of a long, hard day and hundreds of kilometres from home, I'm not ready for him yet. I can't go any faster, I mutter under my breath, as Billy, Tom's father, limps across the yard towards me. He stops at the gas bottle and checks the heat of the disbudding iron, a rod about the length of his forearm. I touch the calf's head. I'll see to your friend while the anaesthetic kicks in. As I lean over a second penned calf, Billy hands me the iron with a slightly shaky hand.
Here you go, Prim.
Are you bearing up all right?
Better than you, I reckon. You look about ready to roll out your swag.
You're not wrong there. I've worked on and off this property for the past 8 years, since I was 19. Billy, with a gap-toothed smile as broad as the buckle on his belt, is in his late 60s and was raised here. He ran the farm until illness forced Tom to step in. The air is thickened with a spiral of smoke as I hold the end of the iron against a bud, destroying the corium so the horn will never grow back. The calf shudders as I cauterize the second bud. He isn't in pain, but the pressure of the iron, the smell, the distance from his mother, all those things are frightening. All done now, I tell him, handing the iron back to Billy before taking a syringe from the tray and drawing analgesic from a bottle. And this'll keep you comfortable for a couple more days. Billy scratches behind his ear.
Guess you've seen this done without anaesthetic?
Way too many times.
I don't know how you cope with it, a softy like you. Ear tagging, mulesing, disbudding and dehorning. They're never pretty to watch.
What about spaying adult cows, then herding them onto ships and castration? They're painful too.
He winces. Oh, poor buggers, but it has to be done.
It should be done kindly and with pain relief. Reaching into the pen, I inject the analgesic behind the calf's shoulder. If producers included the costs of appropriate treatment in their prices, consumers would be forced to pay for it. Billy squirts an antibiotic spray and then fly repellent onto the wound before opening the bars of the pen. The calf shuffles a few steps and shakes his head before trotting awkwardly to the 18 calves bunched in the corner of the yard. Another calf presses his muzzle against the smaller calf's neck. I wipe sweat from my brows and my eyes water. Not long now, I promise the calves. As Billy checks the temperature of the iron, I return to the remaining calf, watching for a reaction as I insert a needle through her horn bud. She doesn't flinch, so I prepare the second lot of analgesia, laying the syringe on the tray before reclaiming the iron from Billy. He looks over my shoulder.
Doc Sinclair's here.
Do you know why? He lifts his hat and scratches behind his ear again.
Anaesthetising the bulls with some new medication, I think it was. Not as heavy as a hippo, our bulls, but Sinclair thinks they're close enough to experiment on.
This farm assists with research into the healthcare and welfare of livestock, and vets and veterinary students come here to carry out procedures using research-based practice and the latest medications.
I suppose they're both mammals and herbivores. Even so, he wouldn't be allowed to treat your bulls unless it was necessary.
We kept too many last year. They're getting their balls off.
When I position the iron against the barely formed horn bud, it burns away cleanly.
They'll need anaesthesia, but I wish he'd waited till tomorrow.
Why is that then? Billy asks.
Two reasons. The first is he asked me to put my work back. When I said no, he wasn't too happy about it.
What did he say?
He sent a snippy email.
I thought he was a reasonable sort of bloke.
You've met him?
A couple of times. He's a veterinary big shot, isn't he? Tom thinks a lot of him.
There aren't many large animal specialist anaesthetists around.
He wanted to do his work before yours? Sounds like jumping the queue.
Billy blinks rapidly.
Did I forward the message he sent me? Maybe that had something in it.
The pain medications Billy takes make him forgetful, but pointing out yet another lapse of memory will cause him to feel even worse about it. There's no point worrying about it now. Tom crosses the yards to greet Sinclair and the men shake hands. Blake Sinclair is tall, broad-shouldered, athletic, and a cobra shadows his face.